Welcome back, everybody, and thank you for joining me for this hour of Go Ask Your Father. Let's go right back. I'm Monsignor Stuart Swetland, the president of Donnelly College, and our number here is 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You can also email us at father@relevantradio.com. Let's go right back to our phone lines to Colorado, to Jerry, following up on an earlier conversation. How can I help you, Jerry?
Yeah, I was just curious as to how you could help me understand the Eucharist and the miracle that happens every day at Mass, where we're told the wine and bread is turned into blood and flesh. Are we eating flesh and drinking blood when we receive the communion?
The Eucharist is transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit and through the office of priest and bishop, that the priest or bishop who celebrates Mass. The Holy Spirit works through the presiding priest to transform the bread and wine, who the priest at this moment is acting in persona Christi, in the person of Christ. That's why he says, "This is my body, this is my blood." It's transformed from bread and wine into the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's how the teaching goes, and it's a true teaching. So the transformation, whatever the isness of the substance of bread and wine, it's no longer bread, it's the body of Christ. It's no longer wine, it's the blood of Christ. Of course, receiving either is receiving all of Christ. But we ought not to think about it in terms that, like you just put it, we should think about it in terms of a one flesh unity. Christ is the bridegroom, his church is the bride. In an act of intimacy, bridegrooms and brides come together and form a one flesh unity. So when we receive the Eucharist, it's akin to that one flesh union. That's why the mystics talk about it in that kind of language. St. John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, Catherine of Siena, Teresa of Lisieux, Edith Stein, other mystics have taught, Blessed Elizabeth, now St. Elizabeth of the Trinity. They all speak about this in that kind of terms. And so we should think of it as akin on a spiritual level to the intimacy of marital love that brings the husband and wife into a one flesh union. We are united in a one flesh union with the bridegroom of the church, Christ.
Yeah, but you're eating flesh and you're drinking actual blood and actual flesh. That's what I'm having some trouble understanding.
Well, I'm trying to explain that that's not the way you should think about it. You should think about it when a married man has relations with his wife, is he consuming his wife?
I don't understand the correlation between eating bread and drinking wine. And
it's a one flesh. It's the way God made available to us to become one with him in a one flesh union.
And that's actually eating flesh and drinking blood.
Have you read the Bible, sir?
It is or it isn't.
Are you a man? Are you familiar with the scriptures, sir? I'm not asking it to be combative. I just want to say.
Somewhat, yes.
Yeah.
The answer is somewhat, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So John chapter 6 makes this pretty specific. All right. So if you read it, it's a very long chapter. It's 66 verses. Well, the whole chapter goes into the 70s. It's 71 verses. But this section is very long. I'm just going to read a little snippet of it. But I recommend you go back and read the whole chapter. It begins with the miracles of the fish and loaves. It's the whole chapter is Eucharistic.
Yeah, but that's Capernaum. And, this came up when I was at a funeral, and the priest said, "Do not come up here unless you're a Catholic," because we're in Capernaum. Jesus said, "This is." It's not like it is my flesh. This is my blood. And, we're not talking about something that's, spiritual, or maybe this is actual flesh and actual blood. And if you don't like it, let's lump it, basically.
Well, I'm sorry he put it that way, because that's not the way he should have put it. What he should say is that it's not totally honest to receive communion in a church you're not in communion with. So it would be wrong for me to receive communion in another Christian church because I'm not in full communion with them. It would be a lie, I would say, with my body by receiving communion, saying I'm in communion with you when I'm not, at least fully, completely. So when I was non-Catholic and I was going to Catholic Mass on my way into the Catholic Church, I didn't receive communion, not because I didn't believe that it was truly the body and blood of Christ, but I wasn't yet in full communion with the Catholic Church, so it wouldn't have been honest for me to receive communion. That's why a Catholic who's in serious sin cannot receive the communion without committing sacrilege, because he's not ready to receive. He's not in union with Christ because he seriously sinned and broke that communion, and he has to have that communion restored before he can licitly receive the Eucharist, receive Jesus. It would be a lie, a further lie he would tell with his body, to receive communion in a state of mortal sin. So this is key that we understand what this means. And again, John 6 is very specific when he says, you know, the Jews even had trouble with it. It says in verse 52, the Jews disputed among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever." So, I mean, it's very specific. And if you look at the Koine Greek behind those English words, you'll see that the words used for feeding on and drinking are very graphic terms for it. But the way to think about it spiritually is, while it's really Jesus I'm receiving, it's akin to the one flesh union of husband wife. You believe, Jerry, in the one flesh union of husband right and wife, right? The two become one flesh when they marry.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's skirting the issue. The issue is it flesh and is it blood, or is it bread and wine?
It's Jesus. You're receiving Jesus into you to be united with him. The answer is yes, it is, but you have to understand what communion is. You're thinking of it in terms of cannibalism, which, you know, this is an old saw. This is the kind of anti-Catholic rhetoric that people used. The Romans used it. The pagans used it. They thought Christians were cannibals. That's not what the church teaches. It's the way God has given to us to unite with him in a one flesh union. And it's you know, your beef really isn't with the church. It's with God, that God chose this way to unite to us. But when he said the night of the Last Supper, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body." He didn't say, "This is a symbol that you can take as a nice little representation of my body." He said, "This is my body. This is my blood." He set up a new covenant. And the Paschal Lamb was the foreshadowing of that. And the chosen people consumed the Paschal Lamb. Jesus is the Paschal Lamb writ large. So it's the fulfillment of what the Old Testament covenant gave us in the Feast of Passover. This is the new and final Passover. So pray on this. Think about it. Take those texts to heart and meditate on them. As a convert to the Catholic faith, I know where you're coming from because I've been there. But once I saw clearly that that's what the scriptures teach, and that's been the ancient practice of the church from the very beginning. Another place to look is 1 Corinthians, where St. Paul says, if you eat unworthily communion, if you eat, after he gives the words of institution in 1 Corinthians 11, he says, if you eat unworthily, you sin against the body and blood of Christ. The sacrilege that you commit is a sacrilege against the body and blood of Christ. He even says that it can cause physical sickness to do so. And that's right after he hands on to us in the first written form of it, 1 Corinthians, written before the Gospels in the current form were given to us. Paul hands on to us what he himself received, and he received this teaching. So from the very, very, very beginning of Christianity, this is the teaching of the church practiced down here into the 21st century. And it's only, quite frankly, a very modern idea of trying to make this into just a representation or just some sign. It's much more than a sign. It's a sacrament that contains what it signifies and signifies what it contains. So thanks, Jerry, for the call. I appreciate it.